All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, you look like $1 million.
Man, I'm feeling way better than I did last week.
All right. That's looking true. Good.
Look, I got news for you.
Hit me.
I don't want to break your mind.
Right.
But I just bought a new bed.
Whoa.
And it took months to come.
Yeah.
And the wait was all worth it, Penn.
Nice.
I don't know how you know about the feeling about a new bed.
Yeah.
But this is the first, like, legit bed I've bought, like a nice bed. Mm. Not just kind of like to get by, you know what
I mean? Life-changing.
Yeah. It's a whole new world, man.
There's a period where you go from, I don't want to be too cliche about it, but it's like you sleep on whatever you happen to have.
Yeah.
And then at some point in your life, you're like, wait a minute.
I don't have to do this.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. Right. What am I, this isn't how it has to be anymore.
There's a true story about my parents. My brother was helping my mom. My parents had lived in this old, well, it's a long story of how they got there because they always lived in Brooklyn, but they had this house in Connecticut, which was like, we didn't inherit the house from my grandparents, but it's a long story. We ended up with this house.
Yeah.
And my brother was helping my mom move some furniture, and he was moving this mattress that we always talked about how uncomfortable it was. And I swear to God, it had straw in it. Modern day, modern times with a straw in.
Who makes that choice?
I don't know.
Who?
Somebody who lives in Connecticut and has no sense.
Apparently.
Hey, you know who else has no sense?
People in Indiana? Well, tell me about that.
People who choose to live in Indiana. Have we ever gotten a download from Indiana?
I'd have to check.
I'll tell you what I did this weekend. I was in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And I packed my bag. I packed
my
swim stuff.
Yeah.
My bike.
Uh-huh.
And my sneakers. And my Sharpies.
How do you fit the bike in the bag?
It's a big bag.
Okay.
Yeah. I packed my Sharpies. And everywhere I went in Indiana, I wrote, listen to the Penn Cinema Podcast.
Oh, snap.
On the walls, under
everywhere.
The table, on the table, on the back of cop cars.
I know some people in Indiana. I'm going to say, hey.
Yeah.
What do you see?
Well, they're probably all talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, now.
So
there's only one place in Indiana. They're all there.
Right. It's like one of those things. Oh, you're from Indiana. Do you know George?
The whole state.
Right. I did not love Indiana.
No. Did you run like you were trying to get out of it?
I don't mean any disrespect, but as soon as I could, I got the hell out of there. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to start being a jerk about things, but I got out of Indiana as fast as I could and found myself in Ohio. And then I got out of Ohio as fast as I could. I've never been so happy to get back to Lancaster.
Oof.
Yeah, I was psyched.
When you hit that Pennsylvania border, were you like, ah?
You hit the Pennsylvania border and you feel like you're, it's weird. I mean,
You know it because your car starts shaking.
Right.
The road.
Right. It's so good to be home.
We made it.
Right. You cross the Pennsylvania border leaving Pennsylvania and you feel like you're all of a sudden instantly in the Midwest.
Yeah.
In a Steven Spielberg 80s movie. Stranger Things or...
Yeah.
Super 8.
Stranger Things was a Steven Spielberg's 80s movie.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
You know how many times a week I just get random texts? don't you guys know anything about anything? if I didn't know you, I'd think you didn't even watch me. That was the comment I got this week.
I get texts from my kids. I can tell when they're listening to the show because they text me the names of things I can't remember.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, all right. Well, it is the Penn Cinema Podcast, and we are here this week. We have some news. We don't have a ton of news, but we left room in the show today because for the last 18 months, all we've talked about is Venom and Dune.
Yeah.
And so Venom is finally here, and we're going to give it a good, thorough review. David, shockingly, has things, quote unquote, things to say
things
about
to say.
It.
Yeah.
He hogged up the entire staff meeting.
Just talking about
poor
it.
Poor George couldn't get a word in edgewise. And so anyway, speaking of Venom, it opened. Did you see the headlines?
Well, no. Tell me. I mean, I heard a little
we'll get
bit.
To the review later, but you know, in topic of movie news, Venom opened $90 million, the biggest opening since pre-pandemic. And meanwhile, Shang-Chi is still hauling in the big bucks, crosses $200 million domestically, the first film to do that in pandemic, beating out Black Widow.
Wow.
Which was released at home.
Mm.
Remember we discussed on the show how Shang-Chi was going to be like a...
It was their test.
It was an experiment.
Mm, that's what they said.
Yeah. So I'm still waiting for someone to say the experiment succeeded. Feige confirmed the obvious, which is that there's a sequel coming.
Well, I think they said it was successful in the fact that the slate of movies are going to go to theatrical
right.
the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I think that was the announcement
that
came after. But, I've been reading some articles, and a lot of them suspect that that the Venom drop-off will be hard and sharp.
No. Or as the kids like to say, nah, brah.
Nah, bro.
Speaking of box office, overseas, they've already started watching the James Bond movie.
They started watching Dune, too.
It's so freaking long. They had to start it 3 weeks early.
They'll be done by the time we start.
Overseas, No Time to Die has already opened $119 million, making it the biggest opening since pre-pandemic.
Wow.
The 25th James Bond movie.
I'm hearing great stuff.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. For as much as we've troubles we've given this movie for all of its...
Well, the thing I remember most about this movie is this is the one that we made all kinds of jokes about because the first time we started talking about this movie, all we talked about was how Daniel Craig kept getting hurt on the set.
The food wasn't good.
He twisted his ankle.
Yeah. Anything to get in the news, they were throwing our way.
Right.
And then pandemic happened, and then they still were like, anything to get in the news, throw the way. And then they were like, wait a minute, maybe this is too much.
Right. Yeah. So I appreciate the fact that Daniel Craig has been in the news, or you know, he's doing his normal press circuit to promote the movie. And in the course of that, he seems to be appreciative of the fact that, hey, Sony could have streamed this movie.
Right.
You know, we could have seen it go streaming. So I echo his appreciation. I think it's going to pay off. I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
For them to sit tight and, you know, wait for this movie to come out.
I'm pumped.
I can't believe next week we're watching Bond.
I know.
I cannot believe that we're there.
The trailer that played before Venom still said November.
Listen, Penn Cinema, we got to talk about that on Monday because,
Because it came up to November, the person I'm sitting next to goes, can't wait. And I was like, well, good, because it comes out next week.
I watch a movie at AMC.
What?
I went and saw Venom at an AMC in Richmond, Indiana.
That didn't help much.
I paid,
no wonder you don't like Indiana.
I paid cold hard cash and went in to seats that were straight out of the 1970s.
Whoa. Just like Indiana.
The plastic back. You know, the type, picture, like, remember those? And here's my biggest complaint. I'm not talking about the movie. And frankly, I'm not even talking about the seats. Seats were fine. It was like, whatever. They were old, you know, and they weren't, like, nice seats, but they were fine. I went to a 5 p.m. show. And I looked at my watch at 5:24, and the movie had not started. They were still cranking out trailers. Because I looked at the thing, and I'm like, okay, movie's an hour and a half. It starts at 5 o'clock, 6:30. I'll be able to hook up with my friends by 7. No, I was still watching the movie at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that is a complaint that I have with those theaters. It's half an hour of pre-show at the start time. And that's why people have the mindset of like, oh, well, you know, the previews just started at 6.
And Penn Cinema regulars, they come on time because they know we don't do that. But you can tell when somebody's from out of town because they show up like at 5:15 for a 5 o'clock show.
Yeah.
And the kids are trained to tell them like, hey, you know, the movie started, you know, 10 minutes ago, right? And the guy's like, oh, well, we just missed the previews. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had that. Even in Ephrata, we have the same type of thing.
Yeah.
I can tell when people are from out of town because they show up 10 to 20 minutes late for a movie and act like, well, we just missed a couple previews.
Yeah, that's what I have that conversation with my friends who live not close by that'll come here with me. And I'm like, No. And they're like, well, why do you want to be there so early? I was like, because I don't want to miss the movie.
Right.
Anyway. So we spoke a little bit about Black Widow.
The second biggest movie.
Right.
Behind Shang-Chi.
Right. And before we mentioned the lawsuit between Scarlett Johansson and Disney about the simultaneous release and it cutting into her profits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there's been no disclosure as to the results, but the lawsuit has been settled.
I thought I read somewhere she got $40 million.
Maybe they came out since I read about it. Maybe they said the exact. But everyone's acting very amicable.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson says she enjoyed her time and she's glad they came to an agreement. Blah, blah, blah. Very professional. And Disney Disney said, hey, we're glad we came to a settlement. We're so happy for her to be in this movie that we have coming up. And so, you know.
From now on, whenever we talk about Disney, I want you to picture the bald eagle on the Muppets with the suitcase, like in the coat and tie. He's got a name.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. And like that's what I pictured Disney executives, except with a Swedish chef.
With the Swedish chef
accent, you know.
Yeah.
So the bald eagle with the suitcase walking into a meeting with Scarlett Johansson with all the papers crinkling.
Oh, that's perfect.
We give it to $40 million. Whoop. We screw you out of profits. Whoop. Did the article that you read point out the key upcoming movie
that she's going to be in?
Yeah,
it did, but I forget what it was.
Disney's Tower of Terror.
Oh yeah.
So I think, you know, the article that I was reading, which I think if I remember correctly, I read this on joeblow.com, was talking about like you and I speculated about the future that Scarlett Johansson wants to have in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was also also reminding the readers like, hey, she's got other projects.
Oh, you know.
Her and Disney have a lot of irons in the fire and everybody has money to be made. You know, so there was a lot of pressure to tie this all together. So
yeah.
I'm not the least bit surprised that they worked that out. I'm a little disappointed because I was hoping for more like fighting.
I think recently I found out she's only like a year younger than me and it just wrecked my world.
Oof.
I always thought she was older.
I hate when that happens.
Oh, is that the case? Cool.
So she's done some stuff with her life. And I'm sitting here.
I'm just about to start my lawsuit with Disney. You hold on.
Oh my God. Yeah, I hate when that happens. I know exactly what you mean.
So Andy Serkis had a big film this weekend.
Isn't he the director of Venom, Let There Be Carnage?
Yeah.
But not the director of the first Venom.
No.
Okay.
Correct. And he's done a lot of other stuff.
Hmm.
You did a deep dive.
Oh, I wouldn't call it a deep dive. I tried to... David.
hold on. put down your Andy Serkis biography that you're writing, and let's talk straight here,
David.
Yeah.
David, I am nothing if not professional.
Clearly.
I am committed to my craft.
Oh, yeah.
So when I heard we were doing a show about Venom, I was like, I got to do some research here. I got to, as I always do every week, you know, I pulled together our research team, which is separate from our staff meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got the staff meeting, and then over there we have the research team.
Yeah, right? Because they have to be able to work on their own.
Well, we keep them separated because they don't always get along. And that's all. So, just like always, you know, I was critically prepared for the show.
Wow.
And all I'm saying is I was reminded that he's done some cool projects, including, as you pointed out, Gollum. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that impressed me, I'm so easily impressed, is just he seems like he's friends with all the cool kids. Like, he did Venom because he's friends with Tom Hardy, you know, and he got he's friends with Woody Harrelson, you know, and he was able to get Michelle what's her last name? From, you know who I mean?
Oh, Michelle?
From Venom. Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you staring at me?
No, I'm just trying to think of a good joke there, but I couldn't.
I'm just saying, he seems like, so, all right, here's where I'm at.
Yeah.
You ever learn a new word and then find out everybody else is already using the word for years?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm. That's me with Andy Serkis.
He's your new word.
He's my new word. And I didn't quite realize that he's like somebody I need to watch. You know, I need to be aware of and be a fan of and appreciate and respect.
Well, he has one of like the biggest motion capture companies out there.
Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't use it for Venom.
Really?
Really. Hmm. Not much. According to what I read. Oh. And the reason why is because, and here's the quote, Tom was using some different stuff, which we decided to just use. So him and Tom are like buddies.
Apparently.
And the guy has one of the biggest motion capture companies in the world, and yet goes in to direct Venom and lets Tom use what he already has in place, which shows that he's not easily intimidated or insecure about his own expertise and his own business. If he's willing to say like, hey, you got a cool thing here, we can just use yours.
Right.
You know, that to me shows like that's pretty cool.
Or he didn't want to embarrass himself any further. I'm just saying.
So that's how it's going to be?
What?
What?
What? Anyway.
Is that where we're at? I can't believe it. I'm so sad.
What?
All right. So you're not a fan of Andy Serkis?
I'm a big fan of Andy Serkis.
Big fan. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So if you're such a big fan, David, do you know what his next editorial project will be?
I do.
Do you really, though? Do you? No,
I
you
do.
Don't. You
it's
do
gonna
not.
It's going to be Animal Farm.
Oh. Which one?
It's going to be George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Oh, okay.
Farm.
That makes a lot more
and
sense.
He's going to play all of the animals motion captured. It's Andy Serkis, one-man show with Chris Pratt doing all the vocals. Because everyone loves Chris
Perfect.
Pratt as vocals.
Perfect.
Andy Serkis is every animal.
The universally acclaimed Chris Pratt.
Right. Yeah.
Not to be confused with Chris Platt.
Yeah. Or
Benjamin
or
Pratt.
Or the real Super Mario.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the Swedish.
It's going to be actually the voice acting is going to be done by Chris Pratt as Super Mario, as the characters in Animal House.
I love it. Have you ever seen that? Is incredible when you see impressionists who can do an impression of like, here's my impression of Bill Clinton impersonating Stevie Wonder.
That is insane.
Like the double impersonation is so good.
That's hard to wrap your head around.
A talented comedian, I think, is one of the smartest people in the world.
I mean, it takes a lot.
Like, when you see a good comedian, that's talent. Yeah.
I have thoughts on comedians we'll get to later.
Okay. So, Andy Serkis is directing The film adaptation of George Orwell's Animal Farm. Do we know anything else about this?
Apparently he's been working on it for some time, but it's just ramping up. Mm. So
gotcha.
That'll be his next big thing. So there you go.
No, it's cool. Look at you trying to act all cool and balanced.
Look, I'm just saying.
Because you know what, David?
What?
You are, if nothing else, a professional.
Yeah, an adamant professional. Mm. So I wish I had some news about Indiana Jones.
Well, let me tell you.
Do you have Indiana Jones news?
I do. Now, I want to caution all our listeners. This is probably old news.
Oh.
Because the story that I read and then put in our show notes and then reread was dated in July.
So, in other words, we may have already talked about this.
It's, no, in other words, it's definitely old news. But I don't remember talking about it. Do you?
I don't know. I didn't read.
Okay, so here's the old news.
Yeah.
It's not hot off the press. It's quite cold off the press.
Yeah. We found this at the bottom of the barrel.
This is cold off the press. Antonio Banderas McLaughlin will return to the he will be in the Indiana Jones franchise along with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Mads Mikkelsen, Boyd Holbrook, whoever that is, Seanette Renee Wilson, whoever that is, and Thomas Crutchman.
Sorry, what about Gollum?
did we know that? Do we know that Antonio Banderas McLaughlin is going to be in the new Indiana Jones?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
we talked about it. I
don't remember talking about it. But anyway, so the new movie began shooting in June, and the plot details around Antonio Banderas McLaughlin's role are still thin on the ground, but the film is set for July of 22, so... I mean, that's not...
And this is the first Indiana Jones under the Disney header.
Right.
So that's news.
Yeah, I want to be mad that Disney gets Indiana Jones, but I love Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And I feel like Disney doing it is going to make it 10 times better.
They don't have a great track record, or let me rephrase that. Indiana Jones had not been going in a very positive way.
Right. Indiana Jones does not have a great track record as of late.
Yeah. And if Disney can pull it around.
If Disney can do for Jones what it did for, like, any of their titles. Pirates of the Caribbean, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the list goes on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am actually okay with this. With this news. I'm excited about this.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, okay, here's the thing. We talk a lot of smack about Disney, and they deserve it. But when they do get these franchises right...
Which is every time.
Yeah, they do get them right.
I mean, their batting percentage is pretty much 100 for 100.
Yeah, it's hard to really...
Yeah.
I mean, the only time that I think lately that we've been super disappointed is when they're remaking their own stuff.
Right.
And they're just trying to home run twice.
That's a really interesting point.
So,
yeah.
It's hard to, you know, it seems like Disney at its worst is just like solid middle ground.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I think that's all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah.
You got anything you'd like to add for the good of the order?
I do have some trailers I want to talk
Please.
About. Can we talk about some trailers?
Only four. We only have time for four trailers today.
Gosh.
So you're going to have to cut those
chaff,
out.
Cut the chaff. Yeah. All right.
And then have to trim those and trim these.
Sound effects, people. That's not me pressing buttons. That's actual sound. We have a gaffer unit in here doing the whole thing. All right. I want to save my best for last.
Oh, so...
So let's start with Wolf.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. So this is a weird indie film. A24, right?
I don't remember.
No, A24 did one of the ones on here, and I can't remember. Maybe it was American Underdog.
Underdog was Lionsgate, and it's got Lionsgate written all over it.
Oh, okay. So Wolf is about... Apparently there's a... In this world, it's... semi-common for people to have species
Go on, David.
Identification issues. Mm-hmm. It seems like a very strong allegory for sexual identification issues.
Ah, gotcha.
It's super, like, that's what they're going for.
So you can check into this institution and you can live like a wolf if that's how you feel you are.
No, you go there to get corrected.
Oh, you go to get corrected.
It's a corrections facility. Oh. People who think that their species identification is wrong, they go to this facility to get corrected, to come out as humans.
Like Pray the Gay Away camp?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's awful.
And so they go to this thing, and there's a guy who thinks he's a wolf, and a girl who thinks she's a cheetah or something, a big cat.
Yeah.
They just say she's a big cat.
Okay.
And they fall in love, but they also think that they're inside of their animals, and it looks weird.
Here's my problem.
What's your problem with Penn?
I'll tell you what my problem is.
With Penn.
Besides the fact that this trailer sucked. If you're going to feel that you're a wolf.
Yeah.
And you're going to commit to that.
Yeah.
Then you should not be allowed to use your thumbs to open the window.
That's the thing. They're still walking around and talking and stuff.
And they're trying to break out using. If you're a wolf, you don't have thumbs, dude.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Cut them off.
I wish I could help you, but I don't even need you to cut them off. I'm just saying, if you're going to crawl around and bark and howl and be Wolfman, that's fine. But then when it's convenient, now you're going to just use your human thumbs.
Right.
Are you a human or a wolf? Because I thought a minute ago you said you were a wolf. I'm just trying to keep up.
Make up your mind.
I'm saying.
Commit or get off, you know?
Seriously. Or get off the pot. Yeah. I think that's what you fish or cut bait.
Yeah. Steam the kettle or have some tea.
Right.
You know? It's those good old analogies that people use.
Brew the coffee or sweep the room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Come on, it's your turn. So what's that?
We either gonna sit down or ride the bike.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to say. You gotta pave the driveway or fly the kite. You gotta do one of the two.
Yeah. This is a Saturday.
Bounce the ball or swing the bat. Either way.
Man, jeez. Yeah. You got all the good ones. All right. So that was Wolf. An amazing film.
No, wait, I want to back up because I do have something constructive to say about this.
Okay.
I think this movie has potential. Like, I feel like we're making fun of it.
Yeah.
And it probably does not.
No, Penn, we are making fun of it.
Unlike every other person that we make fun of.
I think we're making fun of this one. I'm not sure. David could have been serious the whole time.
We may never know.
Yeah.
But I think it probably does not deserve it.
No, we are being a little harsh.
I feel like, what was the movie? There was a movie, anyway, I'm not going to think of it, so I won't bother. But I did want to point out, this movie has one major redeeming point.
Oh.
The female star.
Yeah?
Lily Rose Depp.
Wait, is that the girl from, like, Downton Abbey? And
no, this is daughter to Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Who we've seen in other movies, and she is incredibly talented, and I would like to see her beginning to get more and more roles. And I think she's trying to not trade on her father's name, which is impossible, but she's taking a very carefully curated career track.
Okay.
Which I respect, and I'm ready for her to, like, start making normal movies so that we can really
do her thing. Yeah.
Dig in. Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's Wolf, and it stars Lily Rose Depp. What do you got next?
Next is a movie we forgot last week.
Oh.
And we had a write-in from Ron. He called himself The Rock, which we may have given the nickname.
No. I don't remember
that.
Oh, okay.
But I just started calling him Rock'em Sock'em
Ron. Rock'em Sock'em Ron. Yeah.
Yeah. So American Underdog stars Zach Levi.
Wasn't he in Shazam?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at me.
Plays Shazam. He was also in.
See, David, I know stuff.
You know one thing.
I know stuff.
And it's Shazam.
Yeah.
exactly by in Shazam.
I am nothing, if not an authority on Shazam.
Yeah, people are always like, if you have a question about Shazam, right.
You know,
only the movie though. Right. You gotta call Penn. Right.
And I hope the question is not anything except
who played Shazam. Right.
Actually,
No, specifically, the question has to be, was Zach Levi right, in Shazam?
Because
right.
Yes. If the question is who played Shazam,
context clues.
Right. As my brother would say, I don't know.
All right, so American Underdog, tell me about this.
Why do I have to?
Because, I mean...
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
I have another problem.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tell you my problem. Now, David, we have to talk.
Why do I have to? I'm such a little kid about it. Why me? You're here. You can do it.
All right. American Underdog is a new movie that's coming out Christmas time by Lionsgate, and I'm going to tell you two contradictory things. The first is this movie is going to be huge in Lititz.
Okay.
And it's probably not going to do business anywhere else.
Oh.
Do you know anything about Kurt Warner?
No.
Okay, so he's a famous quarterback for the, at the time, I believe it was the St. Louis Rams. They're now in Los Angeles, but at the time it was St. Louis Rams, and he was an incredibly successful quarterback, and his offense scored shit tons of points and was referred to as the greatest show on turf.
Whoa.
Right? See what they did there? Pretty clever. Yeah.
Someone get that marketing team $100.
Right, right. Anyway, I never liked this guy because here's my problem. This is what I was trying to open with before you made me get all grown up about what movie we're watching. I feel like God doesn't care who wins the football game. Right? And he's one of those guys who, you know, whenever he wins, he thanks God.
Yeah.
And, like, points up to the ceiling, like, God helped him complete the pass.
Right.
I personally don't believe that God cares.
You're telling me that God didn't specifically pick this one person to win the game more than everyone else in the game?
And here's the other thing. What does that say about all the guys that lost? Because there's 54 guys on the other sideline.
What about their faith?
Yeah, what are they supposed to do? You know? And for you, I mean, none of us can conceptualize of God's plans.
Right.
I mean, like, come on, right? So that's always bugged me about him. But here's the deal. He got famous for being faith-based quarterback.
Okay.
And he wrote a book about it.
Okay.
And made a ton of money for being a famous faith-based quarterback. And now they took the book and they're turning it into a movie. And they're calling it like an inspirational movie. So guess who's in it? I'll give you a hint.
Anna Paquin.
Yep. But there's another one who's always in all these like mid-level soul surfer. There's other ones.
Kirk Cameron.
Well, that's a good guess, but I'm talking Dennis Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
So he's in this one. I think people are going to come to this movie and love it and appreciate the message, and that's all well and good, but it just made me like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, people are like, David doesn't like sports, and you're not wrong.
Right.
But I'll give a good inspirational sports movie a try. But I don't think this looks horrible. I just don't think it looks good. I think people are going to like it, especially if you like football. You're going to like it. But I don't think it has mass appeal.
Yeah. You know what's fun about The Greatest Show on Turf?
Yeah.
They lost 13-3 in the Super Bowl.
13-3.
So nobody scored very many points. In other words... Mr. Amazing here didn't score a single touchdown.
God wasn't there that day.
He was not there, but guess who was?
Who?
The New England Patriots. All right, so moving on.
Oh!
Yeah, just saying. So now we're down to two more trailers, both of which I'm going to be really interested. I'm dying to see which we're talking about. What I was going to say is I'm dying to see which of these trailers you picked for your trailer of the week, because I think they're very tight. The two trailers we're talking about is Disney's new animated movie, which comes out on Thanksgiving, called Encanto.
Yeah.
And then we're also talking about a movie called Old Henry, which opens in theaters 3 days ago.
Yeah. Somehow we missed this one.
Right.
And I was like, how did we miss this one? And I had to throw it on here. But
the trailer looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I suspect I didn't have time because I was so I was so busy researching Andy Serkis.
And that Zachary Levi role.
Well, what had happened was the staff meeting, the people in the staff meeting got in another fight with the research team.
Break it up, right, guys.
So, you know, I had to deal with all that mess. And as a result, the research team did not have time to dig into this.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, after the show, I'm going to dig into Old Henry. And if what I'm suspecting is that it was released on October 1st, maybe like on a limited platform.
Right.
Because the movie looks amazing, but also just a little bit artsy or independent, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So was it released limited, and can I pick it up, you know, wider, you know, in the middle of October, maybe? So yeah. I don't know. I'm going to look at that. But all right. So.
But it stars a guy, Tim something. I can't remember what his name is, but he's in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And he usually plays like the dumb sidekick.
He was in Buster Skaggs.
Yeah.
And he was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes. Yeah. And he was Buster Skaggs, right?
Right. Yeah. He's the one in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou when they're in the movie theater and they turn around and he says, "We thought you was a toad."
Yeah. He's a really good actor, and I really like that they're giving him a tough guy role.
So talented.
And it's a Western, like a true Western. Mm-hmm. It looks Western wise, it looks really good.
He's pretty good with that gun for a farmer.
Yeah. That's why they didn't kill him. They were like, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
So a guy with a history, you know, type of thing. And I'm down. I'm
so really down. Yeah.
But
on the other hand,
I got to give my trailer of the week to Encanto.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to give my trailer of the week to Old Henry only because I feel like Encanto, that trailer was amazing, and I'm not taking anything away from that trailer, but I could easily blend that trailer in my mind with like 10 other Disney movies.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Old Henry stands out.
It was different.
Yeah.
So Encanto, we had a trailer before, and this elaborated as to what the story is actually about.
Yeah.
More than that, it showed the humor, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's family friendly humor, but it hit. It didn't feel like it was a panhandling or anything.
Or panhandling. Neither.
It was neither of those things. Yeah. So, I enjoyed it. I thought the story looks good. I'm interested in seeing this movie.
I 100% agree. I can't.
Plus,
wait.
It's an original Disney.
Right.
Well, it's a new to Disney story. I can't say that it's not, and I don't know if it's from anything else. But
and what subtle detail did you pick up on that we've discussed on this show ad nauseum? And I'm curious if you noticed it the way I did when we watched this trailer.
World building?
There was no mention of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he contributed, you know, and again.
That's the first trailer mentioned him, right?
The first trailer was like all about him. And we kind of complained a little bit to each other on the show. And I think Frodo wrote in with some, you know, I think she sort of said like, you know, she was agreeing with us, but, you know, much more articulate than us. And I noticed after this, because while I was watching the trailer, I was reading about the movie, and I was reminded that Lin-Manuel was one of the, you know, he wrote some songs for it and was involved in the movie. And I thought it was interesting that they did not focus on him, because obviously they're trying to really sell it to, it's a family Disney movie.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Yeah.
They're not trading on his name.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, those are our trailers this week.
My trailer of the week's Old Henry. David's trailer of the week is Encanto.
Encanto.
I'm curious, podcast@penncinema.com, what you thought.
Right. Everyone's going to write in and be like, American Underdog. Best trailer ever.
Did you say Rock'em Sock'em Ron?
Rock'em Sock'em Ron wrote in.
Pointed out that we missed American Underdog?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's a fan.
He did say he was a fan.
Okay. Of the movie or Kurt Warner?
Kurt Warner.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Kurt Warner has a pretty great following.
Yeah.
See, my problem is I don't really have a problem. Just to clarify, especially for Ron, because I don't want to offend anybody.
Right. But the Patriots are king and nobody else.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't like when you try to capitalize on one thing while you're doing something else.
Okay.
Like, you want to be a great football player, go be a great football player. You want to be a visionary, faith-based leader. I don't know. I guess that sounds, now that I say it out loud, that sounds stupid, because why can't you be both?
Yeah.
You can.
I guess
As Kurt Warner showed, you can be both. Tim Tebow is another great example of somebody who's currently being both.
You have an aside on this in the Andy Serkis book you're writing? What does Andy Serkis say about trying to be two things at once?
Right. Right. Well, that's the whole premise of the upcoming Spider-Man No Way Home. You're trying to live two different lives.
That's true.
You should just be one person. But I don't think that analogy holds with Kurt Warner. I think Kurt Warner's just a man of faith.
You see, he's not Spider-Man?
We can rule him out, him and you.
Okay. Dang it. I thought I had you going there for a minute. Yeah. All right. Are you ready for our review this week?
It's the main event.
It's the main event.
I almost forgot about a review. I turned the page and was like getting ready to, I was organizing my thoughts about listeners' notes.
Yeah.
But no.
All right. This week, we watched Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Or as it says in the show notes, Venom, Let There Be Regrets.
Yeah.
David wrote that, not
me. What? I did?
Somebody in the staff.
I think Google just changed.
I think it was one of the people on your side of the table. It was one of your guys, not mine.
Which one of them was it? What did you think of this movie?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Encyclopedia Brown hit the nail on the head. I said to him, "What did you think of it?" And he summarized the whole movie in one word. He said it was entertaining.
I walked into this theater today.
Penn Cinema?
Penn Cinema. Lititz. Yeah. To go up to your office. Encyclopedia Brown stops me in the lobby, as he normally does.
Yeah.
Said, "Can't wait to hear what you think."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, got things to say."
Oh, no.
And he's like, "Oh, is that how it's going to be?" I was like, "I just got stuff to say." And he's like, "Well, I already know what Penn said." And I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do when I go up there and he says that he loved it." And he's like, "Well, I'm not going to say what he said." And I was like, "You already said enough for me to know that Penn Ketchum is going to be all about this movie. Best movie I've ever seen. Number one movie ever.
Oh, come on.
My name is Penn. Right. I love Venom. I'm going to have it play forever and always in the background for the rest of my life." Oh, Penn.
All right, David. Since my review is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I should tell you where I saw this. Did
you
I?
Said already, in Indiana.
Yeah, I saw this in Richmond, Indiana at an AMC.
Right.
With chairs straight out of the 1970s.
Right. Was anyone else there?
There were three people there.
Whoa.
Plus me. So there's four total.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'll do my review since it's quick.
Yeah.
And then you can whatever. And then wake me up when you're done and we'll move on to listeners' notes. My review is like, I thought it was cool. I thought it was kind of fun and it was entertaining. And Woody Harrelson is hilarious. Here's some of my complaints. I didn't like how they killed, who's the girl? FB? Fran Bellissimo or something like that?
Shriek.
Yeah. I didn't like how they killed her with the church bell because I felt like it wasn't clear that they killed her. Like maybe she's just trapped under the bell. And it seemed a little, they never went back to that. Like they dropped a bell on her and then that was the last you saw of her and they never went back to it. And I liked the way they killed, what's the guy's name? Woody Harrelson's guy?
Carnage,
but what's it?
Cletus Cassidy.
Cletus, yeah. They just bit his head right off and that was the end of him. And that didn't leave any loose ends, and it was like no mystery and no cute, clever, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, oh, good guys won and him and Venom and Michelle Williams can ride off into the sunset together forever.
Except for they don't.
Well.
So here's the thing.
All right. Talk to me.
Penn.
David.
I'm going to be 120 bajillion percent honest with you.
All right. Are you going to give it to me straight?
I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to give it to you narrow.
Please.
This movie won me over for most of it. Until a scene happened.
And then it ruined it for you.
And that, and not only me, but everyone in the audience around me had the same reaction. And it was audible from different angles when it happened. Right? So it, I'm watching it, and like, you know, the comedy's working for me. I'm not really like a fan, but like, this is okay. I'm kind of like, Carnage looks really cool. You know, it feels like this movie's taking forever, even though it's really short, but whatever. And then Carnage goes into a gas station and he kills a dude behind the counter. And he says, "You got any of them internets?" That line was almost enough. But then this brand new Venom creature just sticks tendrils into the computer and now controls the internet. Mm. Like, the internet turns Carnage red, and not like, oh, I gotta learn what to do here. It instantly goes to the records of the girl that he's looking for. Mm. Instantly finds her. Mm. Like that. Yeah. So this brand new life form.
Symbiote.
The symbiote, yeah, was able to just stick its tent. It wasn't even like, his Venom, when he used the internet, he was still typing
right.
and stuff. This just tendrils into it. And then the internet becomes what Carnage wants it to be. And at this point, like, Woody Harrelson barely understands what's going on to himself. Like, it's not like he's like, oh, I've got full control of my powers.
Right.
He's just like, oh, you're not my imagination, like 10 seconds before this. So it was that part. I go, oh. And then the lady on the other side of the person I'm sitting next to goes, what in the world? Like, audibly. And someone behind me goes, That's where it lost me. And I felt like it progressively got worse from there on. And which is sad, because it won me over. Like, I was like ready to be like, I'm going to come in and eat my words. I was and say, hey, this movie surprised me. But then from that point on, Carnage and Cletus just got more and more wacky crazy and less like, he was a serial killer. So he was a demented, intelligent person. Like the way the type of serial killer he was. He wasn't just a crazy person.
Right.
Like, you know, they couldn't figure him out. He went from that to just being like completely bonkers. And then you've got this girl that's been locked up her whole life who somehow knows how to drive at one point. And she's also equally as wacky crazy as he is, even though she's been exposed to like no one.
Right.
So you'd think she'd be more of a timid person.
Right.
Also, Shriek as a character is also a symbiote, and they didn't make her one, which was dumb, whatever. And, I think the whole Venom being afraid of Carnage thing, like, that's part of the story. I thought that was fine. Like, even their battle at the end was okay to me or whatever. But I did think it was a little, like, I'm assuming you don't know this, but the cop is Toxin, which is Carnage's kid. And at the end of the movie, he says something and his eyes glow, like he comes back to life.
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't know what that meant.
Because he has a symbiote in him.
Okay.
But at no point did they explain Venom gave birth, and that's how it happened. And at no point because they didn't explain that, there was no showing how Carnage then gave birth to Toxin. It just didn't, like, none of it made, they just glossed over. Like, it's like they had an idea and they just glossed over things to get where they were going.
Maybe they're saving all that for Venom 3.
Well, I swear that they have. So I'm. Here's what I was thinking mid movie, right? Because this is not the Venom that I know and love. He doesn't have webs. He doesn't have any of the Spider-Man motif.
Lame.
And I started thinking about it in the movie, and I thought, you know what? Maybe this crossover can work because he's just becoming a hero in this movie. Like, he's just, Venom wants to do it, and Eddie Brock doesn't. And at the, by the end of the movie, they decide we're going to be a hero, right? I thought, you know what? I get it. This is, they're going to meet Spider-Man, and then he's going to model himself. He's going to come back and model himself after Spider-Man. And I was like, I think I'm okay with that. And then the movie got ridiculous. I don't know how I feel. I think I like the ending better than I thought.
The stinger.
They were going to bring Spider-Man into Venom's universe and be like, oh, Spider-Man's been here all the time. But I like the idea of Venom being brought into the MCU because he can leave.
Right.
And go back to his movies and do his own thing and not be involved in Spider-Man. I'm way cooler with that than I was with Spider-Man coming in and just being like, oh, he's always existed.
Yeah.
Here. So you're bored of me rambling, but all I can say is, look, I had to listen to people this weekend who were super fans of the first one just go on and on about how much they hated this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's play a new game.
Yeah.
True or false?
Yeah.
Best part of this movie was the stinger.
Probably true. Yeah. I did like the way that it changed. Like, it was clear he flipped into another world.
How about the scene in the drugstore, the pet store or whatever, where Michelle Williams and the Asian lady are talking, and then Michelle Williams realizes that Venom is
on the lady? Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
By then they had already lost you.
You know what? I think the point where they lost me was even after the ridiculous speech that Venom gives at a rave.
Yeah, that was weird. What was that about?
It was dumb. I don't know. I don't get why.
Yeah.
They went about doing it. Like, you didn't get what Venom was feeling. Now he's literally going to stand in front of people randomly and just say it.
Yeah, I didn't understand. That was a weak link.
Also, in a movie that was rated R, right?
Yeah.
Where, I don't remember this being a thing, Venom needs to eat brains to survive. Human brains. Mm. Yet he only bites one head off the entire movie. Like, they could have done more, right?
Lost opportunity.
Right. It was already R. Just saying. If you like this movie, good on you.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. I do want to recap your review.
Yeah.
You liked the movie about a guy who has a symbiote living inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and lives with that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Until later in the movie when it became unrealistic. When some of the details in the movie seemed totally made up.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, good.
No, you're right.
Perfect.
Okay. You're right. I will let you in on something, though.
All right, and then I want to say something about what I just said. You go ahead. Yeah,
Venom or Carnage does have the ability to travel through electrical, like telephone wires and stuff. So I think maybe that's what they were going at, but he doesn't hack the internet. Like, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what I was going to say is the reason why you feel the way you feel, and I've had this conversation with people in the lobby a million times, and it took me a little while to understand. Like, in the early days, I used to think it was ridiculous. I'm like, why do these people get upset about something that doesn't make sense in a movie that is complete fiction in the first place? Well, the reason why is because we have an agreement. We have a baseline understanding. We go into a movie. It's you've used the word, you know, universe. We go into we've built a world with an agreed upon, you know, set of
rules,
norms, understandings,
yeah,
you know, et cetera. And so it's really easy to quip and sort of do what I just did, which is, you know, and I just said it to be funny, but like, you know, yeah, just you didn't like it because it wasn't realistic later on. But the reality is, like, we all went into Venom with this, you know, knowing that we were going into a certain universe with a certain set of rules and norms and ideas. And the expectation is that the filmmaker is going to play within those.
Right.
And sometimes it works when the filmmaker, like, bends or breaks or...
If there's a reason for it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it works and it's exciting.
Right.
You know, when there's something crazy. But what you're saying is we went into this world in which symbiotes exist, you know, and in which all that crazy stuff is part of the world.
Right.
And then this set of circumstances to which we had not agreed upon plays out. So that's why it didn't work for you.
Yeah.
But I guess that's part of why it worked for me, because I didn't really pay attention to any of the rules anyway.
Were you on your phone during the movie?
No, I wasn't. Because you know why? Because I watched it in public. Because I was at the AMC. So I was not on my phone even for a split second.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm very... If I watch a movie by myself, that's a whole different thing. But if I'm even just with one other person, and certainly if I'm in public, I'm very good on my like having my phone turned the whole way off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, so that's our review of Venom, Let There Be Regrets. Regrets.
Regrets.
And hopefully we'll do better next week with
Bond.
No Time to Die.
Yeah. All right, so now moving on to listeners' notes, questions, answers, comments.
We probably got a lot of notes from people who hated Venom, right?
Yeah, tons of them.
Yeah.
Except for we didn't.
Because that's what you said.
Right.
Except for we didn't.
Rock'em Sock'em Ron said he loved Venom. Did you see the post I put up about it?
No.
He sent us a photo of him and his friends.
Oh, smiling. Yeah.
And I said, we have to send this off to see for Photoshop evidence. you see what's going on. Yeah.
That looked like a fun bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They look like I would like to watch a movie with them. Like, I bet that's a fun trip.
Yeah. So, but this is the big thing that Ron said.
Yeah.
He said he loves WWE, WWF, and that he listens to like theme music all the time. And has already tried to convince his employer to let them have like entrance music when they come in.
So a couple of weeks ago, I think we talked about it 2 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we talked about it and then Sarah wrote in and we talked about it again. And now Ron wrote in and said he has actually, because we talked about it like to be funny. And then Sarah talked about like building on it. And then Ron wrote in and said he's actually already like gone down this road.
To do it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's already like, this is old news to him.
Right. Right.
How did it go?
Well, I think they didn't say he could.
I don't think it worked out.
He still plays the music.
He does it anyway.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, oh, this isn't a theme song. It just is what I'm playing type of thing.
Da-da-da-da.
All right. So then we also heard from Frodo.
All right. Now listen, I want to square one thing away for the record. I read this entire email.
Oh, snap. Well, then I'll let you handle this.
No. I don't want to handle it. But I'm just saying, I saw that it was incredibly long, and I thought to myself, you know what? Put on your big boy pants, because this looks pretty intense. Looked like she had something to say.
Yeah, she did.
And she did, and I appreciated it and feel better informed for having read it.
Yeah. The gist of what she got to this week is... She was writing in about how we were talking about Disney, and last week I think we kind of agreed that like, you get hired for something to do a job and you create something.
Well, the question is, if I'm paying you to work,
yeah,
and in the context of that work you invent the remote control, and then I can sell the remote control, you're getting paid to work, and that's the end of it.
Right.
But I can make zillions of dollars selling this remote.
Right, right. And she strongly believes that the intellectual property should be with the creator and not with a business, and that a business owning it is kind of off. She had a lot of really good things to say, and we're not going to get into all of it, but this is one of those hard things where part of me agrees one way and part of me agrees another with the opposite side, and I really don't understand
right
what the right one is. Because I think they both have merit, depending on what angle you look at it from. Like, if I was the creator, of course I would want the intel. I would want that thing. Right. But if I was the CEO, and I said, we need to come up with a new character for the show.
Right.
I am paying you to come up with this new character, and you came up with a new character, and then I can't use it after I paid you to do it.
Right.
You know, because you created it. It's just, it's a really weird place to sit at. And I don't know what the right answer is. She had a lot of opinions, a lot of actually really well thought out stuff to say about it. With some links and stuff, I think,
yeah,
to look at as well.
I wanted to ask her this. She said corporations are not people.
Right.
And therefore they cannot have intellectual property.
Right.
Because a corporation does not have an intellectual corporation does not have an IQ. Doesn't have right. a corporate IQ. My question to her is, and I apologize if she already clarified this, but the Supreme Court, and this is tied into voting, like campaign finance laws. Supreme Court, I think, has said that corporations can have freedom right. of speech.
I think I saw this somewhere too, that the...
Isn't there, there's got to be a relationship. That case has to be tied into the IP
stuff
topic.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing law stuff in school, there was something about how a corporation, if they structure a certain way, the corporation can be its own entity without the people that create that make it, like its own thing.
That's wild.
Yeah, and thus it doesn't matter who's running it; it retains its own.
That sounds like an Andy Serkis movie. Yeah.
Tell me about
right.
it.
Right.
Right.
All right, so that was interesting.
She also wrote in about the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees is about to strike due to horrible employment conditions that they're made to work under. I did not have time to look through all the stuff that she had to do the research to know what she's talking about, but hopefully I can come back next week and maybe have a little bit of a something to say there, because it could interfere with... film production, I assume it would. So
it's interesting because it's another example of workers' rights versus corporate rights.
Right.
And somebody else mentioned this looming strike to me before and asked me if I was worried about it from like how it would affect me and the theater business. And I said no. And the reason why I said no, meaning that I'm not worried about it, is because in, I think it was 07, it was like shortly after we opened, it might have been 08, might have been 06, shortly after we opened, or maybe even like while we were building, there was talk of the Hollywood writers going on strike.
Yeah.
You remember the writer's strike? The writer's strike came and went or didn't come or didn't go or whatever, but there's so much production and content in the works that I think the studios have enough material that these guys can go on strike and get whatever they need, you know, to be resolved, and it won't affect the flow of movies to theaters.
Yeah, sort of. But you look at Quantum of Solace, which they've come out and said Quantum of Solace was the way it was because of the writer's strike.
Mm, yeah.
So, I mean, it does affect things just differently than what you would expect. There's no content. It's just not as good content.
Daniel Craig said Quantum of Solace was a mess because he allowed himself to get uptight in the James Bond development. Like his interpretation or, you know, his relationship to James Bond, he took it too seriously. Mm. That's my words, not his, but it was something like that. And then he said the movies after that, including No Time to Die, are better. And he was comparing that to Casino Royale. He was saying in Casino Royale, all I did was have fun. You know, like, oh, you're James Bond, you're a super spy. Like, it's fun, you know. And, you know, he tried to get too heavy in Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
So he takes some of that ownership.
Yeah.
But the best note of the week.
Hit me.
Last week we heard from Top 10 Sarah.
Yeah.
Who talked about Big Boss Man. And I got the following from Big Boss Man himself.
The Big Boss Man reached out to you?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, snap.
With a picture, which
I was actually a little disturbed to see. The picture was I think submitted as proof of what the statement was true. The picture appeared to be the close up of a dog's mouth.
Okay.
And here's what the note said. And I want to run it by you and see if you can help me understand what he was talking about. Because I thought they were listening to the Penn Cinema podcast in there.
All the time. Every time.
Isn't that what you were led to believe?
Yeah.
But obviously they were talking about, they're listening to some other show. Because here's what he wrote in. I just pulled two teeth from a dog while two goofballs talk about theme music.
What show could that have been about?
But he doesn't clarify. So we may never know what show to tune into if we wanted to listen to two goofballs.
Is it Two Goofballs the show?
Maybe we should reconsider the name of our show. So anyway, thanks for writing that in. That was always good to hear from the boss man. Dr. Bossman, I believe.
Dr. Professor Bossman.
Dr. Biopic.
Dr. Biopic. All right, let's get into what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing this week, other than your big race in Flatsville.
I went out to Flatsville.
Yeah.
Flatsville,
Indiana.
Now I got a bone to pick because I was promised a flat race. It was not flat. Now, you know Indiana, so you know there were no mountains. I'm not trying to act like it was hilly, but the whole race was up and down. Like, it was rolling hills the whole time, which I found annoying as hell. And on one, like, I don't want to exaggerate, so I think I want to say it was a total of 4 miles, 2 miles out and 2 miles back. On one section of the bike course, it was newly tarred and chipped road surface.
Oh.
So you're on, you know, a triathlon bike, which is pretty, it's like the opposite of a mountain bike.
Right.
Tires are thin and it has no like give. So when you're riding on newly surfaced roads, it's miserable.
Ugh.
And it was raining and windy during that section of the bike for me. Some of the faster kids had already come and gone off that, but I was right out in the thick of it. But we had a great trip, had a lot of fun, and I had a successful race. What I mean by that, successful race, is that A, I didn't die. I didn't drown in the swim. I didn't crash on the bike. And I finished the race.
Wow.
So, success. But the big news, on my drive out to Flatsville.
Oh, snap.
Huh?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
He just stood up.
I know where this is going. Oh,
my. David, you look like a proud papa.
I hope this is what I think
so
it
happy.
Is. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question, and it better not be the same answer it always is.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I finished Dune book one. And my question for you is that where the movie takes place?
Well, that's okay. So you finished Dune book one. So now when I go, how far did you get? Your answer is going to be, they just got to the planet, which it's right. It's been the last like 4 months.
I was stuck on that chapter. I re-listened or reread that chapter like three or right. four times.
So now, book one ends with what?
Paul Atreides discovering that Jessica is not who we all thought she was, mm-hmm. right?
Well, sort of, yeah. Yeah.
She is both Harkonnen and...
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, genetic heritage. So he's taken the spice of life at
right.
the end of book one, right?
I believe so.
Right.
There's some like massive thing... And I could, while I was listening to it, I could picture this being where the movie ends. So that in the sequel, because it turns out that he's not just a leader. He helped me finish the sentence. He's continuing a whole race.
So, okay. So what it is the Bene Gesserit.
Right. That's right? What it was. He's Bene Gesserit.
Or his mother's Bene Gesserit.
But it turns out he is too.
Well, he is the Kwisatz Haderach, supposedly.
I don't know the difference between
so that. So the Bene Gesserit's like saying, I'm Catholic.
Okay.
Right? So, or like, I'm a nun.
Right.
So the Bene Gesserit, right, they have...
They're a tricky bunch.
They have this thing called the Missionaria Protectiva.
Okay.
And what that is their missionaries go out and don't preach, become a Bene Gesserit. They preach a general religion... So that if a Bene Gesserit is ever found in a compromised condition, they can then pull on these beliefs to get the aid they need, and either A, present themselves as, or a way to some sort of like profit or something. They can get, they can use this built-in like religion that they've planted all over the place, or it's not the same religion, but themes to then get themselves into places of power within communities. And what we have here is Jessica using the missionary protectiva to thus push Paul into the role of a messiah. And
right, is he the chosen one, or right, there's a different word for that?
The Quisicatarach, which is the one who can be many places at once, which means that he can both see the past and the future. So the Bene Gesserit have the ability to see all of their genetic memory of the female line if they become a reverend mother. But the difference is what happened here when he took the spice of life is Paul has the ability to see the male and female line of
genetic memory. Because she was supposed to have a girl.
Right.
But then changed her mind. Somehow she's in control of which gender she was going
to
have.
They can control their cells, yeah. They're not supposed to have boys, because if they have boys, their boy could become this Quisicatarach. And if he comes too soon, they have like the whole plan for the way the race of humanity is supposed to play out.
Right.
And if this person comes too soon, humanity dies out. And if they don't, you know, they want it to come at the right time. So they have a breeding program. So Jessica was supposed to have a daughter, and that daughter was supposed to marry a specific person, and then that person, I think, was supposed to have the Quisicatarach.
But so that got all screwed up.
Right.
It has something to do with the emperor.
Yes.
He messed it up somehow.
Yeah. So the emperor and the Harkonnens betrayed the Atreides, and as a result, Jessica and Paul wind up with the Fremen, and using the missionary protective to survive. And that kind of puts everything into a lane. Plus, Paul being too early, he has some of the latent abilities to like see the future and stuff.
So I have two follow-up questions.
Yeah.
A, do we think this is where the movie ends?
It could be, although the trailers look like it goes a little past this, where he's training he's like kind of become their Lasan al-Gayab, I think is how they say it, but like he's becoming more of a leader of the Fremen and training them, because they show like a battle scene. It looks like he's fighting with the Fremen.
Well, but that leads to my second question, which is this imaginary girlfriend.
She's not imaginary.
This girlfriend.
Right.
She doesn't appear in book one.
Chaney. She's introduced by then.
She's introduced, but then there's no... I was, like, paying attention, like, listening, trying to, like...
Yeah, it's very clearly Chaney is the girl that he's seen. Cause he says... I think he even says, like, that's the girl from my dreams.
Right, but it doesn't... I only remember hearing about her. I referred to as the girl from my dreams. I don't remember her being, like, having... Like, I don't remember her... I don't remember the dreams.
Oh, well, they weren't much. They were just, like, her saying, like... You're coming, or I think the line that she repeatedly says in the dream is, "Tell me about the waters on your home world."
Okay.
And Moadib, she calls him Moadib, which is his Fremen name. So she's the Chaney is the is his like girl.
All right, so that's what I've been reading and doing.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Now you have a month to get through the rest of it.
Yeah, not even a month, 21 days.
Oh my gosh.
I'll get there.
Ugh.
Tickets go on sale, by the way, tomorrow.
Oh.
Or if you listen to the show later in the week, they went on sale 4 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly 4 days ago.
Right. Yeah. No matter when you listen to it, they went on sale 4 days ago.
Well, that was a lot about Dune for people who don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But let's get into what I was doing. Are you done unless you got more?
No.
You have more?
I just, on the ride home from Indiana, I was too fried.
Yeah, no, I'm glad tired. You waited. Yeah. I checked out Squid Game. Have you been hearing about this show?
I'm dying to hear what you think of it, because I keep hearing about it and looking at it, and I haven't clicked.
I only watched the first episode, and I will watch more, but I'm not sure if I'm in or not.
Okay.
It's weird. But I don't know if it's the type of weird that I care about or the type of weird to just be like, okay, I get it.
I'm a little burnt out on Netflix. I feel like I've had a bad record the last few weeks of like clicking on something that looked like fun, and then the acting is so bad and the storyline is dumb, and like I feel like I've been burned.
I think what's holding me on this one is I've been a little beat, and it just naturally started playing the dubbed version. And I think it's probably more enjoyable if you watch the subtitled version.
So it started playing the dubbed version and you didn't correct it.
No, because I was like, I knew what was happening and I was like, well, I can either watch this right now dubbed and take it in, or I'm not watching it. Because I wasn't like...
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, normally I would go for the subbed all right. the time, but I just, when you're when I'm tired and I just...
What language is it?
Korean.
Okay.
Yeah. Takes place in South Korea.
Okay.
So... And I binged about 4 or 5 episodes of Seinfeld, which finally came to Netflix.
Love Seinfeld.
Of course, loving it. So that's me for now.
Okay.
So next week we're doing Bond.
Can't wait.
Look, everyone, we want to know what you think of Bond. We want to know what you think of Venom. Tell me how I'm dumb. Go ahead. I don't care.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. podcast@penncinema.com. That's how you get a hold of us. That's the best way to reach us. You can also hit us up on Facebook. There's usually a conversation going over there. Trailer Master Jason will post the trailers. He's on vacation, but when he gets back, I'm sure he'll be back at it. And, you know, Frodo's usually active on there, too, so you can talk to her.
I don't remember approving a vacation for Jason.
You were fixing...
Oh, that's when I was had the research team.
Yeah, mess. And it came up, and I said, right. I don't see how this could hurt anything.
Right, okay.
You know, I was wrong, but right. Yeah, yeah. So... But look, if you want to support the show,
yeah.
How can people do that, Penn?
Well, listen, you could just tell a friend.
Yeah.
But what I try to do, David, because as we mentioned,
drive to Indiana.
I am nothing if not professional.
Right.
So I try, as such, to lead by example.
Okay.
So that's what I did this weekend. I don't just ask you to do stuff. I'm right there in the front.
Right.
I'm doing it. So the next time you leave. Anytime you leave town, you got to pack clean underwear,
right?
A change of clothes,
right?
Toothbrush, mm-hmm. And a couple Sharpies.
Yeah.
And then you know what to do with the Sharpies. You know, you travel. I want to see pictures of listening to the Penn Cinema podcast in bars and clubs and restaurants all over the country.
And I want to encourage you also, since you got the Sharpies.
Right.
And you got the underwear. You might lose that underwear just right. Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast on the inside of the underwear. Where normally you would write your mom would write your name, just write that instead.
But you know what, David? Let's not gloss over that.
Yeah.
You should probably write your name in there too.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
You never know. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So many people are going to be doing that.
Right.
Whose underpants is this?
Right. This is definitely mine because it says listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah, and someone else is like, but
oh, wait, mine says that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much confusion.
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's okay.